You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
With Dr. Eve. Hello, Dr. Eve.
Eusebius, you need to get out more. If you thought that was fun, seriously, but that was fun for you? Okay. I need you to come over and play a little, Eusebius. That was intense. Okay. That was serious.
Okay. I think you've just selected a topic for the next week or two, because I want to know what happens when I come over to play.
Well, it depends if you're bisexual or not, Eusebius.
That's very, very true. I'm looking forward to today's conversation, Dr.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're talking about bisexuality, and I'm so pleased that you wanted to do this because it is neglected and becoming more and more in the public domain through the usual conduits, which is film stars, rock stars,
absolutely,
actresses standing up and saying, you know, this is who I am, proclaiming who I am.
Can I be unusual and ask to frame today's discussion? Shame, I always let you do the hard work.
No, go ahead.
Let me frame it, because I'm the one who told you maybe we should do it this week. So in case the listeners are wondering, this is where it came from. A couple of weeks ago, there was an episode on a Sunday night of Date My Family. And the person that was single, who was looking to be hooked up potentially to a date, self-identified as bisexual. And every family that he met, when he said, yes, I'm bisexual, people go, how? What do you mean? You just have to choose, woman or man. Hey, no, he can't be trusted. And even the potential partners that were watching him from a distance with their families were like, oh, bisexual, hey. You must choose one or the other. And it made me realize just how much myth-making there is around bisexuality. In fact, I also thought, and I know you'll appreciate my confession, Dr. Eve, it reminded me of my own attitude for years, despite being gay myself, how we ourselves have weird attitude towards bisexual people. I always used to have this, what I thought was a joke, but it's no longer funny, that bisexuality is the last phase of coming out. And so I thought, actually, let's treat this seriously. Mm. Let's actually go there, because many people have their sexual orientations imposed on them, despite their own feelings to the contrary.
And I'm not going to disagree with you that it is, for many people, a last phase of coming out, that it seems almost more benign to be labeling, self-identifying as bisexual than as gay and lesbian. And then you have this double whammy, which you've identified, that there is this enormous discrimination which happens to bisexual people from both the LGBTI community as well as from the heterosexual community. So you're saying something incredibly true, which is that the binary model is what we feel most comfortable with, Eusebius, that we want to put people into these boxes of either or. And I think that's where the LGBTI community, and most definitely the heterosexist and monoheteronormative community, really struggle a lot with this concept of being bisexual. So just to say what it isn't, because you talked about myths, you know, what it isn't. It isn't somebody who is just deciding that this is a fad and this is just passing fancy, or somebody who's indecisive and not really deciding who they love and who they want to be sexual with or who they want to be in a relationship. Bisexual people are not just people who are promiscuous and using that label just to be able to have sex with different people, whether they be male, female, or transgender, whatever their genders are. They're also not cheaters who are just looking for an excuse to be sexual and minimizing the impact of cheating by being sexual with somebody who may be of the opposite or the same sex of their significant other. This also is a person who is really feeling, from a health point of view, incredibly, incredibly discriminated and at risk in our society. And this is one of the main reasons for me, the motivation of talking about it, because bisexual people are shown, there are studies which show that they have a higher risk, especially bisexual women, of having mental health disorders such as mood or anxiety. And so we really need to talk about it. I think what we're not talking about, and maybe this will make it easier for some people, because of the fluidity of sexual orientation. Yes. And we really love that. We love that the continuum that Kinsey started we all sit somewhere on between that 0 to 6 number, 0 being completely heterosexual, 6 being completely homosexual. We all sit, I mean, that's what the research has shown over the years since Kinsey came out in the 40s. We all sit somewhere along that continuum, and whether it's fantasizing, being attracted to, being emotionally close with somebody who is of the same or of opposite sex, we feel that. We sit over there. So we acknowledge that there is huge fluidity, and that brings a lot of confusion when one is looking for a box to put oneself in. So we're not talking about people who play along the continuum of fluidity and feel really okay and comfortable about that. We're also not talking about men who have sex with men, even though bisexuals would fall into that category if and when they are sexually active with men. MSM are a completely different category of people who we know from a health perspective are very high risk, and they need to be given very special attention in terms of health care. We are not talking about gay men, and so we are talking about a group of men, and I'm a group of people, forgive me, not a group of men, a group of people who identify as saying, actually, I don't want to choose and I don't have to choose. That what's going on for me is that over a period of time, and we really look at that in the diagnostic and statistical manual, is it something which is enduring? Is it something which is a persistent feeling? Over a period of time, I have enduring physical, romantic, and or emotional attraction to other people of various sexes and or gender identities. And this may be experienced in different ways and different degrees over your lifetime. Now, it can be very challenging when you get into a marriage and into a relationship. And this is where I want our listeners to come in with us today. That you may get into a relationship and say to somebody before you get in, you know what, I'm bisexual. Just like you're quoting this character on the television or this real person on this TV reality show. I'm bisexual. And the other person, yeah, you know, whatever. So, okay, so you're a man and you've had sex with men, or you fantasize, you know, watch porn of men, but I know you're really heterosexual at the core of you, so I'm going to marry you and we're going to live happily ever after. And then the man is found on Grindr, masturbating to Grindr or meeting up with men, because he's now caught in this binary of having to have to be in the situation where he can't be honest with himself, and he has to be able to be expressing his attraction when he is attracted to other people. And it leads to enormous pain in people's lives. And the problem is that if we were accepting of gay, lesbian people and bisexual people, and we were not judgmental of that, it would be less painful, because we wouldn't be getting married. People wouldn't marry under the guise of being heterosexual and pretending that they were not either lesbian, gay or bisexual because of the fear of stigmatization.
Absolutely. So 16 minutes after 11. Please do call in if you've got questions you want to pose to Dr. E, if you want to share your own experience. Do you self-identify as bisexual? Do you dislike the label itself? What have you experienced? How have you to negotiate this socially in your relationships as well? 011-883-0702. That's the number where you can call us in Johannesburg and in Cape Town, or 021-446-0567. I would love to hear from those of you who self-identify as bisexual. Firstly, what you make of that label as a sexual orientation, but also your experiences. I mean, the LGBTI tag is fascinating because it now rolls off the tongue of anyone who considers themselves vaguely progressive. But actually, the B in that acronym is often rendered invisible, just like the I. The T is getting a bit more attention, but for the most part, it is really the lesbians and gay men in that acronym who have the most power, the relative power, the most visibility. And that's why we want to open up the discussion to give proper visibility to the B in LGBTI right after this.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
20 minutes after 11, and we're focusing today on bisexuality. Give us a call if you have a question for Dr. E, if you want to share your experiences, your attitudes, how have you had to negotiate. So many myths, so much discrimination often, that persons who self-identify as bisexual or some sort of fluidity in their gender identity often have to experience. 011-883-0702, of course, in Joburg and Cape Townians, you're more than welcome to call in as well on 021-446-0567. Got a couple of callers on the line, Dr. Eve. Let's speak to Rita in Port Elizabeth. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning, Eusebius. Good morning, Dr. Eve.
Go ahead, Rita. Thanks for calling in.
So I suppose my comment is a little bit about the terminology and then a little bit about personal experience.
Yes.
I don't mind identifying using the term bisexual simply because I think more people understand that term. I personally prefer the term queer. One of the reasons I don't like the term bisexual is I think that it, again, is quite one or the other. It indicates maybe there are only two genders. I do think that gender could be a continuum as well. And so I think bisexual indicates, well, it's either going to be a man or it's going to be a woman. Mm. And then people also tend to think of very kind of heteronormative displaying men or women, if I can put it that way.
Mm.
So I do like the term queer, but not many people are exposed to that outside of the queer community. And perhaps they're not familiar with the word. So bisexual works, but it's not my favorite.
That makes complete sense to me. Rita, do you self-identify as queer?
Yes, I do.
And you know, you don't have to answer this. I'm sorry if it's intrusive. What's been your experience, both within the LGBTI community and otherwise, in terms of people's attitudes? You know, like assumptions like, oh, come on, Rita, just make up your mind. Or this idea, oh, if you're going to be dating Eusebius for a few weeks, you know, oh, you're going to leave me for Dr. Eve.
Right. No, I think it's mixed, both in and outside of the community. Mm. I think it's mixed. Reaction. And I think it comes down to you kind of really finding yourself a close circle of friends and support and people that already know you and know how you feel. I mean, I know that even my current partner is a male, and in the beginning he had a little bit of trouble with it because he was kind of like, oh, now I have to worry about girls as well. I was like, no, that's not the point. The point isn't that you're attracted to everyone, you're still attracted to the people you're attracted to, and that's probably a very small sample of the population. My specific sample just happens to be made up of both men and women, but when I'm in a relationship, I'm with that person to be with that person, you know? It's been, I lived overseas for a while, and I found access, quote-unquote, to the LGBT community much easier there than I have back in South Africa. And I don't know if maybe that's my geographical location or what the case might be, or if people aren't as open, or if maybe people care less. I don't know. I mean, it would be a positive thing to think, well, people really don't care.
That's you know? Interesting. Absolutely fascinating. Dr. Eve's thoughts that come up for you.
Thank you, Rita. Very much. I totally agree with Rita. She's living it, and I always tell the story, Eusebius, that, you know, when I did my doctorate in San Francisco, we would be sitting in the institute for hours every day, and they would say to us, now walk outside and go and get the facts, go and get what's going on in the street. And you'd be sitting in class and learning that, you know, the term that we use is bisexual, and we'd walk along the street and talk to people and say, well, how do you self-identify? And they would come up with like really interesting names, just by queer or whatever it was going down for them. It's very, very personal. I agree with Rita around that. I'm standing by the fact that bisexuality needs to have an identity on its own, because I think that it gets under the radar and people get into painful situations in heterosexual marriages. And that's where the difficulty comes in, of having to explain, and also in just relationships generally, where, and I love what Rita was saying, I am attracted to people. It doesn't matter about the gender, it doesn't matter about the sexual orientation. I'm attracted to you as a person, and oh, by the way, you happen to be female. You know, the myth of like, I'm going to leave you because I am attracted, I have possibility of being attracted to men and to women. That's nonsense.
There's something else going on there, Dr. Eve. I mean, and I want us here to be as wonderfully plain speaking as we often are about these issues, right? Which is, someone also thinks, besides the fear of you're going to leave me for someone of a different gender to myself, the other thing that sometimes comes up in assumptions about bisexuality is this idea that I can never fully satisfy you sexually. You know, if you, as Dr. Eve, self-identify as bisexual, then the fact that I, as a biological male, only have male genitalia, surely you could never be fully happy with me sexually.
Yeah, it's again that binary model of like either or the great fear that we all have of having to be the one and only and the most special to somebody. So the idea of having somebody else right on the table, you saying to somebody, I am attracted to people, and that could be either or, feels sexually incredibly intimidating. It's like, okay, do I need to have ambiguous genitals to be able to keep you with me and not for you to cheat with anybody else? Or am I in competition now with somebody else? It is fraught, Eusebius, with so much politics and so much fear that goes around with it. We're going to talk just now about something called mixed orientation relationships as well. And I'd love for people to call us if you are in what's called a mixed orientation relationship, where you are a gay or a bisexual person, have pronounced it or maybe have kept it completely secret because of the shaming of it, and then get caught out or find your partner is seeing somebody of the same gender or same sexual orientation. And what do? You're now stuck in this. And I've had, you know, much clinical experience working with couples like this who find themselves in very painful situation because of the mixed orientation. And once you acknowledge, you know, actually I am somebody who enjoys being with my same gender or my same sex, can we still be married? Because we really still love each other. Mm. We still have a great family together. We don't want to break it up. But there is now this truth on the table.
Absolutely. Lala in Johannesburg, good morning.
Hi, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for calling in.
I'm fine, thank you. My story is a bit complicated, but I'll try to shorten it. I kind of like, okay, when I was in varsity, I used to do girls, and I was raised in a Christian family, so I thought maybe it's an attitude that when you're raised in a Christian family, you're supposed to live this way and all that, like families, you know. So I dated a girl for some time, but when I started working around 2012, that's when I realized that I'm attracted to guys as well. Mm. And then I tried to be naughty and go to nightclubs and all that and start hooking up with guys. And I ended up breaking up with girls and start doing guys. But in between the process, I realized how much I missed girls, and I started doing girls again. So I stopped dating guys again. I did girls and I stopped again. So now I'm not dating. But my confusion is when I start telling my friends about how I feel about girls, even though now I'm concentrating on guys, they keep telling me that I'm confused, or I'm just in denial that I'm okay. It's because of my religion as well. But I feel that I'm not confused. I just feel that I still feel that fantasy of being with a woman, the comfort, the love, and all that. Whereas on the guy side, I enjoy them, but not as much as I enjoy girls. So I'm just not sure what's bisexuality and what's confusion and what's denial as well. Because as much as I would say I love guys or I enjoy guys, but I still enjoy women so much. So I don't know which one is which right now, because I'm a bit confused. And gay people, they will also try to lambast you, to say, no, you can't be, you need to choose one, my friend.
Well, Lala, you've articulated your experiences very clearly. Mm-hmm. I want to commend you for sharing and for your bravery. And I'm looking forward to Dr. Eve's reflections. Thank you. Let's do it now, Dr. Eve. What's your response?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, the pain and the now what Malala's going through is not dating because of the pressure that comes from peers around trying to get him into that box. You have to be gay because, you know, this is what you're doing, and you're confused. Just like we started the show, you see, there's the myths around it. This isn't real, which is why I am claiming the title of bisexuality, because Malala would, according to the definition, completely fit. Well, not completely. He fits into that. And I'm saying to you, Malala, honor yourself. I know what it is for you. And the challenge is to be able to find a place for you in society where you can be confident and claim that for yourself. And I love your honesty around it, that you should be able to also to be honest with people when you get into relationships. And I'm thinking about people who clearly are feeling, and right now it's very politically correct to be saying, you know, I'm just not monogamous, I'm polyamorous. And just putting it out there, the secrecy always hurts. You are not confused, sweetheart. You're not in denial. As Eusebius says, you're completely eloquent and clear. And as a therapist, I hear that about who you are and what you're attracted to. And I've got some questions for our listeners, Eusebius, which is on my blog, which maybe if we pose them, it'll get people to think a little more and be less judgmental and fearful about who and what they are.
Okay, we'll do that in a second.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking Sex.
and English literature, Dr. Eve, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Do you know what it means?
I must say, you know, I didn't recognize that one. It's quite unusual. Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
I love these different online dictionaries. So there's like one Wikipedia that is fairly straight in tone, no pun intended, and it says that it conveys the idea that the most noticeable or loudest problems are the ones that most likely will get attention. And then there's the Urban Dictionary, which is one of my favorite. And the Urban Dictionary is a little bit more blunt. It says it means that the person that bitches the loudest will eventually get their way.
So we're going back to last night, are we?
That's exactly what I thought. Now, you know, I don't know. I mean, I love the brain, but it's also chowing such valuable time. We've got so many callers, but you also wanted to frame a few questions for us first.
Yeah, thank you for that. I want people who are sitting there at, well, wherever you are, you're driving in your car, and you're feeling a little biphobic or a little confused about this whole notion of bisexuality. So think about sexual attraction, because we've got to divide this up. This is the fluidity of all of us. To whom are you sexually attracted? Your sexual behavior. With whom you actually are having, whom are you actually having sex with? Sexual fantasies. Whom do you fantasize about? Your emotional preferences. Do your emotional influences determine the actual physical acts of love? Do you love and like only members of the same sex, only members of the opposite sex, or members of both sex? And then your social preferences. Who do you prefer to hang out with? Who do you socialize with? Your lifestyle preferences. What is the sexual identity of the people with whom you socialize? And then your own sexual identity, which is how do you think of yourself? And then finally, your political identity. Because this is very strong for us, as we know with feminism. Some people may live as heterosexual, identify as that, but then may, for political reasons, call themselves lesbian as a political identity. Consider that. They're all on my blog. Do that little exercise for yourself and talk about it with your partner, and you may actually find some interesting fluidity and also maybe some bisexuality. Absolutely. That has been hidden and squashed into a marriage of heteronormativity.
Let's go to Cape Town. Michael, thank you so much for calling in today.
Hello, Eusebius. I think I have an advice for the other guy who called. For me, it's fine. I don't have to, when I see a girl that I like, I don't have to tell her that I like boys. It's not relevant. You avoid trouble. I chill with her. When I meet a guy that I like, I don't have to tell her about girls that I do. I tell her strictly that I'm gay. So it has worked for me, and I can adapt comfortably in both environments. When I'm with the girls, I chill. We hang out with the boys normal, and when I'm with the guys, I don't. So it works. I think I can manage it, but I don't think it's as easy for a lot of people. So I think the other guy who says he feels confused, I understand how it feels, but I once went through the stage. The thing is, relax about it. Don't make it a big deal because, there are a lot of people out there who are bisexual. In fact, I almost think now that there are more people, they're more bisexuals than straight. I mean, if you ask me. So it's a lot. Even the person you never thought is. So it's not, you're not crazy, you're not confused. Manage it. Manage it. That's all.
Beautiful, thanks so much for that
support,
Michael.
Thank you. And Michael, I'm going to back you up with research. There was a survey that was done by the Pew Survey in 2013 and says that the most likely people to be in the closet are going to be bisexual. And 28% report that even though the most, that only 28% of them have told people in their lives that they are bisexual. So we talk a lot about this new word, which I love, you see, is monosexism, which means that you discriminate against somebody who is only going to be in love or attracted or sexual with just one gender or just one sexual orientation. Let's not discriminate against somebody who claims to be bisexual.
José in Johannesburg, hello.
Hello.
Go ahead, José, yes, you're on there.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a quick comment about the fluidity of sexuality, really. I mainly identify myself as a homosexual. Everybody knows that. I'm extremely feminine. I'm extremely extreme. I normally say I'm the gayest gay out there. But to be quite honest, only a couple of my friends know this. Now and again, I do feel an attraction for women.
But it's something that I've never been able to really express it to my, let's say, for right now, to my partner as much as I should. And I haven't been able to express it to other people, especially my parents, who are in denial of my sexuality at this age. So, for example, a couple of days ago, I was at my apartment having a smoke, and then this white girl comes along, starts chatting up with me. Mm. And for the life of me, all I kept thinking was, oh my God, I would love to do something with you right now. But it's something that unfortunately we cannot express, especially when you are, when people say that you are on the feminine spectrum of the sexuality of the whole thing, then people don't expect you to have feelings for, let's say, women if you say I am gay. And that would be mainly the reason that I identify with gay, because if I come up and say, hi, my name is Porsche and I'm bisexual, all hell will break loose.
All hell would break loose, meaning that you would be kicked out of a community, Hussi? I mean, what hell would break loose for you?
In a sense that now I'm going to have to start defending my sexuality. I'm going to have to start explaining myself all over again, as if coming out as hot straight is not enough. Mm. So in that regard, I would have to now explain myself. I'd have to make this person understand that, listen, when I say I'm bisexual, I don't mean that, yes, I'm going to be running after Tandy's P-Way and Eusebius, if you know what I mean. If I say I'm dating you, then I'll be dating you. If I'm doing something with you, then it's just with you. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be jumping around genders, just one of them.
Oh, you know, I feel so hot sore when I hear you and Michael previously as well, because the common theme, Eusebius, is that of secrecy.
Yeah.
You know, Michael saying the only way, you know, manage it. That's the way you got to manage it. He's saying to Malala, manage it by just keeping it secret. Kwasi saying, I manage it by being secret. I would be totally discriminated. There would be biphobia and monosexism against me. And then the exhaustion, which is a lot of what the research has shown in terms of bisexuality as well. That is, it's completely exhausting to come out as a bisexual person, which is why there is a silence. And I come back to the pain, not only of secrets, but then the pain of relationships. And how do you keep that quiet? How do you suppress the attractions, the feelings, the fantasies, the emotional attractions to people who just are people that you enjoy?
Absolutely. Monique, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi. I just want to present a scenario of a 17-year-old child who is experimenting quite profoundly with dressing up at home in female's clothes, and has bought bras and prostheses to go inside it. And he is not attracted to boys, and he is so confused. And how would a mother deal with that? A single mother, I must say. How does one deal with that? You know, it's very, very difficult to negotiate.
Monique?
Yeah.
Well done, sweetie. I hear you, single mom, and I hear that feels like an extra burden to you, that you're the only one who is having to manage this conundrum that you look at every single day in your child. How do you feel about different genders and about different sexual orientations? In other words, how stuck are you in a heterosexual model?
I don't feel stuck in it. I am not. I'm not averse to it. I'm very open to it. I'm just not sure. What it feels like there is such an openness around it, and like a zeitgeist around fluidity, that it's very difficult to. I mean, obviously, when he goes to his father, this is completely unacceptable, and it's becoming more and more, profound for him. Do you go out and help him buy female clothing? Do you allow it at home? How do you manage it?
The advantage in that you have a child who is a teenager. He's a young adult. He's 17 years old. Therefore, he's able to talk for himself. And the best thing for you to do, Monique, is to let him know that you are there with him. You are there with him. Yeah. You are supporting him. Let him guide you in a process. And I hear there's a voice that comes in for you, which is saying the whole of society is so crazily permissive right now that really, how do I tease out what's real for him and where should I be guiding him? You don't have to be guiding him. Relax. You have to be a mom. And the best thing that moms and dads and caretakers can be is supportive and reassuring that whatever the outcome is, and it's, remember, we're on a continuum for life, whatever the outcome is, you know, he's your child and you are going to be accepting whatever it is. And what you want to do is protect him from the slings and arrows of phobia and prejudice that society will be throwing at him. Whatever he comes out at this day, tomorrow or the next day, if he says to you, hey, mom, you know, I want you to come with me to buy bras or clothes, you go with. You talk with him about it. Let him be your guide. You don't have to take this burden of responsibility, which I hear is so difficult for you. You don't have to do that. Talk with him. Let him see your care and your love and support, because I always come back to evidence-based research. That is what's going to ensure that your child does not end up suicidal, you know, taking drugs, looking for other ways of soothing his incredibly uncomfortable and confused feelings.
Trust him, Monique. Thank you so much for that, because it's just it is reassuring to know that, you know, that is the track to go on, and not to it's this fear of the bullying out there, and people have made comments around wow, you know, how are you dressing? And yes, it's okay for boys to wear Alice bands because they've got long hair, but the whole ensemble is tricky sometimes out there, and people are noticing.
People are noticing, and when people notice, you just let him know, come talk to me, come talk to me, I'm here for you, just be there. We all want to protect our children. None of us want children to be bullied, and of course, when there's any kind of difference or otherness, they are absolutely at risk for it. So just you be the mom.
Absolutely.
Just be the mom. Thanks, Monique.
Thank you, Monique. And thank you, Dr. Eve.
Well, our time is up. Okay, sober mean moment right now. Thank you, as always, Eusebius, for wonderful discourse and openness to these wonderful, varied topics that we bring to everybody. And thanks, everyone, for engaging. And please get onto my blog if you want to read and learn more.
Absolutely.
Next week, some more.
Yes.
Fun.
Cheers.
Bye.